And we're back. I'm Steve Kraske. If you missed our conversation about and tasting with wine expert Doug Frost about Kansas and Missouri wines, you can find it and all of our previous broadcasts at kcur.org. On tomorrow's program, we talk with a man who's realizing a 20-year dream to supply quality housing and social services for homeless vets all in one location in Kansas City. Well, the Star's Kevin Collison had a very busy year in 2012 covering all manner of big development issues in town, including the arrival, impending arrival of IKEA, a new office complex on the plaza, and a new Walmart housing multi-use complex in Mission. With the economy picking up, 2013 very well could be just as busy, and Kevin Collison joins me here in the studio, and happy holidays to you, buddy.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you, Steve.
Well, what did you see happening in the Kansas City area in 2012 when it came to development, Kevin, and some of the key trends you saw? What's sort of the macro view that you saw happening out there? Are things picking up, the pace beginning to move here a little bit?
Well, the macro view was we really did see that we're finally getting out of the recession. Actually, what was interesting is some leftover business that had stalled out during the recession, either directly related to the economy or other factors, finally got back moving forward again. You mentioned the West Edge deal, now called the Plaza Vista. That's the office building and hotel that Bob Bernstein had wanted to build near the plaza, and they got into a big fight with their contractor.
This thing's almost done now, right? At least it's been enclosed, I think.
After a crazy situation where they tore down the original office building that had been designed for it. Yes, the new building is being finished as we speak.
Is that a Moshe Softy building?
No, don't even bring it up. Moshe Softy designed the original complex.
Right.
His office building was ripped down. They couldn't find anybody else that wanted it.
It's just unique. Unbelievable.
It's sad, to be honest with you. The hotel portion of it, though, that he designed is going to be finished as part of this deal. But the new building that the Polsinelli-Schuchert office, our law firm, wanted is completely – it's a new building. I mean, they saved the garage underneath it, and they tore down the old Softy structure, and they've got a new, much more conventional-looking office building. But the good news is this thing, which had been an eyesore for at least 3 years – and has been under construction for more than 5 years, is finally going to get finished this year. The law firm's supposed to move in this fall. The hotel's supposed to be finished. And so finally, after a epic headache for a lot of people, this thing is going to be done.
And we've talked before about nearby businesses like JJ's, the tavern there. You just wonder the level of suffering the owner of that place has endured as all this chaos has gone on across the street from him.
Oh, the neighbors had to put up with one building going up and then it being torn down with jackhammers and then another building going up. It's just been a major mess. And another thing that's actually, now that the recession is looking more and more behind us, the Corbin Park Shopping Center out at 135th and Metcalf that had stalled out during the recession and the developer went into bankruptcy, et cetera, is finally finished now and is getting tenants in there. So that's another sign that things are happening. There hasn't been a lot of new retail projects. I mean, a lot of people still think that we had more than enough retail before the recession hit, but now we're getting finished with this Corbin Park project. There seems to be a lot of progress that's being made with the Prairie Fire development, which is just down the street. They've got one of my favorite shops coming in as an anchor tenant, REI, Big Outdoors,
right.
Good
Big
place
outdoor
out of Seattle.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've got everything they need yet. This is the project that ultimately is going to have an exhibition hall for the American Museum of Natural History as its big attraction. But it looks like they're gearing up to getting a start this year.
It's an interesting idea, this notion that some folks might think we have too much retail in the metro.
Yeah.
Is there any way to measure that? I mean, do we have too much retail considering, you know, per number of people and wealth and income and all that?
I think by many standards we do, considering, you know, Kansas City's had healthy growth in population, et cetera, but not anything on the lines of like a southwestern city like a Phoenix or an Austin or something. I think we definitely had more retail than we needed before the recession hit, which kind of hurt projects. But again, you also mentioned, though, which is kind of interesting for me personally, because I live in Northeast Johnson County, you're seeing some interesting stuff in that the as you mentioned, the IKEA store mm-hmm. announced that it's going to be coming to Merriam. And again, in another situation that makes you scratch your head, they're tearing down a shopping center that never actually got occupied. It was, I think, the Merriam Point Village, Circuit City.
And this is on the south side of where the Mission, what's the name of that complex there where there's the movie theaters and Office Depot?
I can't remember. It's right
Home
at Johnson.
Depot.
It's at Johnson Drive and I-35.
Yeah,
and
right.
It's on that hilltop. They built this huge wall, a retaining wall, and a shopping center up there. And Circuit City, a defunct electronics chain, was going to be their anchor tenant. Circuit City went bankrupt. They never got this thing going. Mm. It's going to be torn down again. It's sad to me. A building that's never been used, it's going to be ripped down, and IKEA's going in there, which is a huge deal. I mean, IKEA is one of the biggest, most desirable retailers in the world. And I'm serious. They started in Sweden. They're all over Europe, Canada, and they've made major inroads in the U.S. But this is going to be, for all intents and purposes, they got one up in Minneapolis a couple of years ago. Denver just opened up one last year. And Kansas City getting this is actually a fairly good sign that they have a lot of confidence in our economy, because this is one of the smaller metros that's gotten an IKEA, as far as I know.
And this is certainly going to transform that whole intersection where Johnson Drive and I-35 meet. It's going to become a destination
point. I hope Merriam is well
point.
Aware of the traffic jams that this thing's going to create, because I've been to these things before, and when they are hopping on a weekend, they draw a lot of people.
IKEA's going to open up when?
Well, they're going to start demolition of this shopping center this year. I think they're scheduled to open up in 2014.
So the demolition still hasn't even occurred
yet? No, it's still sitting there. And then on the other side of Northeast Johnson County, over in Mission, close to where I live, they're finally, it looks like, going to move forward with this Mission Gateway project. They tore down the old
big plot of land's been empty forever.
Oh, 26 acres. I've joked for years now they should allow some buffalo to roam around there and have a little game preserve. But they finally seem to have everything they need. They got their incentives approved by the city of Mission. They've got Walmart ready to build what they're describing as being a state-of-the-art store. It's going to be a two-level place. It's going to be combined with other retail. As you mentioned, there's going to be apartments as part of this thing. It's not the ambitious mixed-use project that originally the developer wanted.
There was talk about an aquarium.
They're going to have a major tourist attraction with an aquarium and hotels and all this. It's much more modest than that, but it still appears to be, you know, not just a big box Walmart with a parking lot around it. It's going to be a kind of a new urbanism style. It's going to bring 300 apartments to that area. There's going to be other businesses, and they hope to attract other types of office uses, et cetera. And it's just, again, it's been an embarrassment of sorts, kind of like the West Edge, in that it was just sitting there empty for year after year, and people start to wonder, well, what's going on with the economy around here?
We're visiting with the Star's Kevin Collison, who covers development for the newspaper. So no question that just in general, Kevin, you're seeing the wheels of capitalism beginning to turn at a faster clip than you've seen in recent years.
The real estate certainly is picking up. And in fact, not just with the commercial construction, but we're finally seeing a revival in the home building industry, in the home selling industry. The most recent report I saw through October, the first 9 months of the year, housing construction was up 74% compared to last year, which shows that the housing, and of course that's off of some very anemic numbers. I mean, the home building industry really went into the trenches during the recession. But we are starting to see a really healthy return. Realtors are selling more homes. Prices have crawled up a bit. So I think that crucial residential housing market is also starting to show some real signs of strength as we go into the new year.
If you have questions for Kevin Collison about development in Kansas City, what might be happening this in 2013, our phone number here, 816-235-2888, our email address, UpToDate@kcur.org, or go to KCUR's Facebook page. You know, one area near and dear to a lot of people, Kevin, is sort of this Midtown, the Nelson Atkins area. You just reported that the Kansas City Art Institute is demolishing the 111-year-old Donaldson House at 4347 Oak Street. That decision has been criticized by historic preservationists. What's happening there? What's the story?
Well, as far as I know, the Art Institute has owned this property for at least 15 years. They've got a plan to expand their campus, and they offered to sell the building for a buck or something like that to anybody who might want to move it. They didn't get any offers because it would have cost $100,000, $200,000 to relocate this old home. In the great scheme of things, it's a sad deal, but it's not a monumental deal by any stretch.
Yeah.
When you talk about Midtown, I just want to shift the topic just a little bit. I think one of the great, and I've mentioned this on your show before, one of the great historic preservation and revival stories of recent years is all these beautiful old apartment buildings on Armour Boulevard that have been renovated and are now being used by young folks who are working in the plaza downtown.
Tell us about the company that sort of came in here and is doing all of that.
Well, they're out of Chicago. They had a lot of experience redeveloping the Hyde Park neighborhood of Chicago, which is actually where President Obama's from. I'm drawing a blank on their name right now, and I apologize.
We'll get it, man. Yeah.
But they, about 3-4 years ago, came in with a very ambitious plan. There's at least a dozen of these massive beautiful old brick, what they used to be called apartment hotels, where back in the 20s and 30s, people would live there and they'd go down and they'd have a dining area and all the rest of it. I don't know how much actual hotel business, but one of them actually had a great old nightclub. Anyway, they'd been falling apart for years. They'd been emptying out. There was a lot of Section 8 housing and accompanying issues. And these guys came in and said, look, you know, we're going to go big. We want to do all these buildings. We want to completely turn around the reputation of this neighborhood. They work with the Kansas City Police Department. They've got some great incentives through the city, and they've got a track record of taking these buildings and renovating them into very nice, affordable apartments and market-rate apartments. They've been telling me that they've been renting these units as quickly as they turn them out. So now you've got an area that really could have gone south fast. And you've got actually a fairly stable community now of young adults, the kind of people that Kansas City really wants to keep living in Midtown with access to the bus rapid transit. And hopefully maybe if this streetcar gets pushed out from downtown and goes down Main all the way to the plaza, it'd be a great market for that type of transportation.
It really does emphasize this idea. Again, we've talked about this, younger folks wanting to live closer in
that
as opposed
lifestyle.
To farther out, and that's what's appealing to the next generation.
It's definitely a huge priority for this community as well as many others that want to see those talented young adults stick around instead of moving to Chicago or New York or San Francisco or maybe even Minneapolis or Denver. I mean, you really need to have that younger people, many of them, not all of them, like that urban lifestyle, and they like that kind of density. And Kansas City has been a bit behind the curve, but it's really done a lot over the past few years to catch up.
I thought it was interesting. You also spent a few hours recently at the New American City Conference that Kansas City hosted just a few years ago. Mayor Sly James at the forefront of that conference. And you came away more convinced than ever, Kevin, that the city needs a strong mayor form of government. What was it that happened at that conference that got you thinking along those lines?
Well, the opening, it was a two-day conference that the Kauffman Center for the Performing Arts put on by a group called City Age, and it was called the New American City. And they brought in a very impressive bunch of people from all over the North America, including mayors of some of the larger cities in the country like Houston, Memphis, Nashville, I mean, Charlotte. They had some great people. And the opening session was just talking about cities that are the catalysts for the 21st century growth in the United States and the world. And they talked again about how much cities are going to become a critical part. They already generate most of the economic growth in the country. It's only becoming increasingly so. But we are very much more now competing not only with Omaha or Oklahoma City, but with cities around the world. And successful cities are going to be ones that are going to have that kind of global perspective on things. I've heard this from a couple of other panels. The American Planning Association had a big meeting here a couple of months ago. The same kind of theme came up. And the point being that Kansas City, we're hobbled already by this state border and just the mess that creates. And we've got a city government that has been handicapped now for several generations because of the sins of a guy named Tom Pendergast. Mm-hmm. We've got a weak mayor form of government. We have a city manager form of government. We've got a police department that's out of control. It's out of the authority of the government. A school that's not in control of the government. A parks board. So you've got, if you want to have a strong leader in this town, and we need strong leadership to be able to respond to opportunities and to challenges that are out there. The mayor, at the end of the day here, really has does not have all that much more power except the bully pulpit of the mayor's office. And I came away thinking, if this city really wants to step up and be competitive and fight to make sure Kansas City just doesn't become some irrelevant backwater metro in the 21st century, we need to have a strong mayor. People say, well, look at what we had with Mark Funkhauser. Well, you know, okay, you take your chances. But you take a look at Chicago and what Daley did for Chicago over the years, what Bloomberg's done for New York, what some of these other strong mayors have done in their cities. And again, we just don't have the luxury anymore, in my mind, of just kind of cruising and just and having this kind of dysfunctional city government on top of a situation where we've got two states that basically are eyeball to eyeball stealing businesses from one another. It's just kind of a luxury we can't afford if we really want to do well as a metropolitan area, in my mind.
Kevin Collison's our guest. He covers development for The Star. 816-235-2888 is our phone number. Let's go to some phone calls here. And Pat from Overland Park, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, Pat.
There's been a lot of discussion about describing Kansas City being in the middle of the Silicon Prairie. What is the city doing or other regional economic development groups doing to promote Kansas City as a tech center? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Pat. And certainly with Google coming here, there's opportunity.
Yeah. I know that the city of Kansas City has got a new Launch KC program going on, in which they're trying to make it much, much easier for entrepreneurs to come to town, to be able to connect with everything they need to connect with to get a successful startup business. We've had a couple of stories about some neighborhoods in the city that are becoming attractive to young people with an idea and not a lot of money. You know, I think, again, Google certainly gives us a at least some buzz in the country. Whether or not at the end of the day it's going to be a deal changer, I'm still a bit of a skeptic, but it's certainly given us some publicity. But again, you know, we've got to get that kind of investment angel, you know, investment type folks who are willing to put money into some of these ideas. We do have a very competitive living situation where if you don't have a lot of money and you want to live in a place that's not too expensive, this is a great place to come to. I do think also, you know, and this has been a big push of the civic community for a long time, you know, we need to continue to push harder to have the highest quality higher education we can, you know, making UMKC the strongest possible university it can be, so we can get that kind of talent and that kind of brain power into this city.
And you get a sense there's new momentum when it
there's
comes
definitely
to
the Google
to the university.
Gave us some great buzz. UMKC seems to be on a pretty strong roll these days. I think Mr. Morton's leadership, from everything I can tell, has really been important to trying to raise the profile of what it actually is a very good university, but it just doesn't have that reputation as being, you know, the KUs or the Mizzou's of the world.
You know, you mentioned the border wars a few minutes ago. And again, when you're on, we often talk about that. They seem to be continuing unabated. You reported just last month, Kevin, that a group called Health Outcomes Sciences, a health care software firm that got its start recently in Kansas City, is relocating to Overland Park and plans to expand its workforce from 13 to 37 over the next few years. That came on the heels of SelectQuote Senior, an insurance marketing firm, leaving Kansas City and consolidating about 150 workers at 89th Street and State Line in Leawood with the assistance of $5 million incentive package from Kansas. Lots of talk, Kevin, about ending the border wars, but
It doesn't seem to be a lot of action. One of our colleagues, Brad Cooper, along with the Wichita Reporter, had a big piece in the weekend paper about Sam Brownback.
Yeah.
And I was fascinated and appalled, to be honest with you, to read Brownback looking at the Kansas City Metro as a laboratory to see how effective his tax cutting programs, incentive programs are, which to me indicates totally he doesn't care a whit about the overall health of this metropolitan area. And everybody who's not exactly earning their bread by luring companies back and forth, agrees that this is just the most incestuous, useless type of incentive game because we're not adding any net new jobs to the metro, and we are handing out, according
millions.
To Bill Hall, who's done some research, $300 million in lost tax revenues that have been given back to companies just to move them back and forth between Kansas and Missouri. That's $300 million that's not being paid into the Missouri or Kansas state treasuries that, at the end of the day, has to get made up by somebody, which ends up probably being you and I who are not being targeted for incentives. And it's just, you know, the New York Times did a big article, a series of articles last month, so it's about it, how this is going on all over the nation. So we're certainly not unique, but it definitely included some significant components about what was going on in the KC area. It's silly.
And it continues. Why, in your estimation,
is
just the political boost you get from adding jobs to?
But they're not adding jobs. Every time I get a press release from the state of Missouri or the state of Kansas saying we just got 1,000 new jobs. Well, they may be new to some bookkeeper in Topeka or Jeff City, but they're not new to the Kansas City Metro. These are just people whose companies are moving a few miles back and forth across the border. They're still living in the same homes they did. They're still shopping in the same supermarkets they did. It's only looking great to somebody who's keeping score in the state capitals and who doesn't have any real sense of what kind of integrated metropolitan area we live in.
David from the Plaza area wants to talk about the West End project. David, good morning.
Hi, I'm a neighbor of the West End, and I'm still just a bit unhappy with this project. The new building going up is one color, and then the old structure, which is now, I guess, going to be the hotel, is another color, which I think the color of that building is just awful. And plus, there are two modern structures right there in the middle of all those old apartments, and I'm just not happy with the whole thing, and that's just my comment. I drive by it, and I see two buildings that are pretty much connected, and one's one color and one's the other color, and it's just not – you look at it and you think, that just wasn't planned very well. And then my TIF dollars paid to put it up, so I'm even more happy about that. So that's my comment. Thank you.
Yeah, David, thank you.
David, good hearing from you. You know, the aesthetics of this thing – were determined a long time ago. I mean, when Moshe Safdie and Bob Bernstein came up with their original West Edge plan, I mean, if you don't like the way that hotel looks, you must have really been appalled by how that office building looks. This, again, it's all in the eye of the beholder. I think the big thing is this thing is finally getting completed, and all the chaos and turmoil and just the bad reputation it was giving to Kansas City is finally going to be behind us. The aesthetics, you know, I don't know what else to tell you except that it's getting done.
You know, as we talk, as the country goes through the whole fiscal cliff fiasco in Washington, in my mind, it's little more than that these days. You just also wrote about the significance of the federal government in our area as an employer. And folks might be interested in knowing that the federal government, either directly or through contracts, employs 41,500 people in the metro with a combined annual payroll of more than $3 billion, making it by far, you wrote, the biggest employer in the region. And for every one federal job, there are one or two estimated spin-off private jobs. So you wonder, where would we be without all of that?
Thank Harry Truman for that, from everything people told me. When he was president, he made sure the bacon came back to Kansas City.
Why is the Kansas City area the site of so many federal jobs? What is it?
Well, the General Services Administration, which is the federal government's landlord agency, I think has 10 or 11 regional offices. Well, again, Harry made sure Kansas City got one of them.
And they're all moving downtown.
Well, not all of them, but 1,000 people who are currently working at the Bannister Federal Complex, as they decommission that whole facility, 1,000 people are scheduled to be moving into downtown Kansas City. Probably not this year, although maybe by late this year they might be moving. And, you know, and we got these great old – not great old, listen to me. We've still got some very dynamic industries like the Honeywell facility and the old Lake City ammo plant that are World War II venture that still employ a lot of people here in defense work.
Yeah. That's Kevin Collison from The Star. Kevin, really appreciate your time. Thanks for coming in today.
It's great to be here.
You bet. Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR Up to Date. The show is produced by Steven Steigman, Danny Alexander, and Beth Lipoff. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you are up to date.